Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Life Transformation Radio. I'm here with Sven Scurry. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I'm so happy that you're here, man. So today we're going to march to a million with Sven Scurry. Sven was born in Tok, Alaska, and spent 16 years in the wilderness. He was raised by an entrepreneur and a school teacher. He's been in the customer service industry since he took his busboy in restaurants. Sven was formerly trained in the film world to love and cherish the visual medium. He has since found his calling in residential real estate sales and has been working with his stepdad in building a small real estate sales team at Long and Foster Real Estate. Together, they help 50 families a year buy, sell, or invest. Sven's passion is personal development and self-growth, and has been his focus since he graduated high school in 2001. Sven has been instrumental in the M1 March to a Million Mastermind Group. He continues to read or attend seminars and workshops every month. One of his other passions is exercise. He plays ice hockey 2 to 3 times a month and runs 8 to 10 miles a week. He's completed his first 5K and has a 10K scheduled for April 9th. Sven is enrolled in his first Warrior Dash obstacle course on August 5th. What's up, buddy? That sounds amazing.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. Great to be here.
So I like everything about that, man, except for the 8 to 10 miles a week. Like, I don't like running, dude. Like, I can't stand running. Like, your body feels like it's breaking down, and you're like, you feel like you're all winded. Like, I don't like that feeling at all. So I try not to run. But being in the military, like, we kind of got to run. So I kind of just got to suck it up. But that's awesome, man. You're doing 5Ks and 10Ks and stuff. That's cool.
Early on, I tell you, I was the same way. I mean, early on, let's say last summer, I could barely run 1 mile one time a week, like barely. And I would probably walk 3/4 of it, to be honest, you know. And I live in a neighborhood that has these different, like, blocks that just expand the distance. And so what I tried to do is the second week I would go 1.25 miles. And then the third week I would go 1.5 miles. So I'd go a little bit longer every week. And I just told myself to just, if I could run that 1 mile one time that week, I would say, all right, great. I'm a beginner. That's what beginners do, right? And I would give myself a pat on the back and I'd sort of like hold myself accountable for that one run. And over time, I think within the first month, I was up to, I think it was like 2.25 miles. And then I would explode and I run twice a week. And then, you know, so on and so forth to where, you know, now I can pretty easily run 3 times at probably 3.25 miles each time. And yeah, I'm looking to go my distance now a little bit. I've heard that that's the next challenge in the runner's game is just starting to expand the distance.
That's freaking awesome, man. So your passion is personal development, right? And then you're in the real estate game, right? I have to ask, you know, we always start off with our why on the show. So what is your why, man? Why did you decide to do what you're doing now?
You know, I'm a servant at heart. And for me, that has really transformed into helping families make that one of the biggest purchases they make in their life. You know, helping them make a wise move, purchase in a good area, purchase in an asset that will, over the next 10 to 25 years, grow into sort of their largest nest egg.
Awesome.
And it just fits the bill of my personality of connecting with people deeply, helping them with things that you know, they have a need for, and just being always in service to others.
That's awesome, dude. What draws you to the personal development side of it?
Well, you know, I think that being raised by an entrepreneur, my dad started the town's only bakery back in Tok, Alaska, where I grew up. And so I think he helped lead me down that road. I think one of the earliest memories he had the Tony Robbins, I believe, Personal Power tape set way back when. And I would put those on, and we would, on our road trips, we'd be listening to the Personal Power stuff. And it sort of is always defined my journey. I think that there's this Wall Street Journal, what do you call it, copyright letter. And it sort of paints a picture. Two guys graduating from the same college, the same time, grew up in the same town, went to the same high school, whatever. Why does, you know, 25 years later, one guy run the company and the other guy still is just, you know, manager of a department? And what's that difference, you know? And for me, I've always been fascinated by that difference. What is the difference between good and great? What is the difference between, you know, running your life and running a company or running, you know, something bigger, you know, and I've always been fascinated by studying those things, both internal, external, that really apply to that. So that's
awesome.
Probably what.
Yeah, because
me
there is that line.
Yeah.
There absolutely is that line. And, you know, how do you get over the edge? You know, how do you get over the hump? How do you break through the ceiling? I mean, there's so many, you know, verbiages that we could use. You know, how do you get over the hill? You know, and there really
yeah.
is a line between, you know, that place where you're at and how do I get to that next level? You know, how do I get over the edge? And what I've learned, you know, just being in M1, you know, what sets yourself apart is literally taking action. You know what I mean? You can consume all day, but if you're not taking the knowledge that you consume and applying it and utilizing it, then you're always going to be where you're at. You're never going to get to the next level because you're not taking the steps necessary to get to the level. That's what I learned
sure,
in M1.
Sure.
So.
Absolutely. The implementation, exactly, right? Having a clearly defined set of, you know, the framework that you're going to live your life by, right? Having everything clearly in front of you as to what you're going after is great, but it is that action. It's that implementation. It's that, so you know, you show up, you hear something new, you have a good conversation, but how do you apply that? And the implementation, the having a plan to implement and course correct every week, trying to
yep.
figure out what did you do well, what did you do that wasn't so good, and then what can you do next week in this face of that same situation to
yeah.
overcome it to a greater degree.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I literally have a plan that I use every week, and it never changes. The things I do might change, but the plan never changes. Like I do, like, what am I doing today? Like, so I set like a yearly goal, and I set each month has a goal, and then I break it down into weekly and then daily goals. So like, what am I doing today to bring myself closer to my main goal? What am I doing today? I've already broken it down, right? What am I doing tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing the next day? What am I doing the next day? And so you take that weekly goal that you have and you chop it up into different days. It's like, okay, on Monday I'm doing this, Tuesday I'm doing this, Wednesday. Like, if I want to get booked to speak, you know, as a speaker, you know, I got to get booked to speak. So if I want to do that, then I got to contact 2 to 3 events every single day. You know, that's my, like, every single day, that's what I do every single day. I have to do this. You know what I mean? It could be real estate. Mm-hmm. I got to contact, you know, 2 to 3 people to get leads. I got to contact, you know, 5 to 10 people, you know, for, you know, whatever. And so, you know, you set
right.
yourself daily goals, right? And you're like, boom, check, got it. Okay, now my weekly goal is to contact 20 people. I'm going to split that up into, you know, Monday through Saturday, because Saturday is your weekly check-in. You have to set a weekly check-in.
Sure.
So I set Saturday as my weekly check-in to ensure, did I hit all of my benchmarks that I wanted to hit throughout the week? And if I did, what can I do extra to push me over the edge? If I accomplished everything Monday through Friday, what can I do on Saturday to just push me right over the edge? And then on Sunday, man, I hang out with the family, I rest, I go to church, you know, and then Monday I'm back at it. So that's kind of what I do.
Yeah, and it's very similar in the real estate game too. Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, the biggest metrics in real estate are just how many new people did you meet, how many authentic conversations did you have, because the conversations lead to meetings, which lead to deals. So having those authentic conversations with new people in your world are the essential trackable thing that transforms businesses.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. And building relationships.
Yep.
Definitely building relationships.
You know, there is a metric. I don't know the actual stats, but, you know, depending on, like, let's say you have 300 people in your know, like, and trust database, well, that'll turn into a certain number of deals every year. Just for having it, and you know, obviously working it properly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, hey, Life Transformation Radio listeners, this is Margin to a Million with Sven. You can call in and ask Sven or I a question. The number is 657-383-1109. Again, that number is 657-383-1109. So, dude, I want to know who you were before you got into real estate, before you got into personal development. Like, take me back, dude. Like, who were you before you got to this point?
All right. So when I graduated high school, let's start there.
Okay.
I was at the time sort of in a rocky space. I had at that point decided that I was going to go to college. But it was mainly because that was the path that was sort of set out for me. I didn't know if I wanted to do college. And, you know, I had at that point been introduced to a concept called network marketing. And so I was sort of trying to figure out if that version of sort of sales slash business was something that I could do or I could get involved in. And at the time, I thought it was, and so I joined a company. I forget what the name of it was. It sold home water. What is it? Home water purification kits, or something like that, and also vitamins and minerals, because, you know, all these network marketing companies have to have supplements. But it became. At that time, it became something that, you know, everyone made making money sound easy, right? You just tell a lot of people, and you sign up some people, and you make some money. And so at that point, that was the only reason I wanted to do the network marketing, is because people said that you could buy your freedom back.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, through hustling and building a business so big that you could buy your freedom back. And I think for me, I've always sought after that concept of freedom, and here's where I always wanted to get to a place where more money than I knew what to do with, so I could go travel, I could eat out, and I could not really care about the price tag. At least this is my mind when I was, you know, a lot younger. Is that, like, having a life where you have more money than you know what to do with, and you're not beholden to your day to trade hours for dollars.
Right.
That was the ideal situation that I was heading towards. Well, network marketing did not do that for me. It just was like more of a turn everyone you know into a business colleague or a business transaction, and that was a real killer for me, because I didn't want to look at everybody I met as a potential either client or customer or colleague. And so I pretty quickly let go of that. I pretty quickly stopped hustling that. Oh, and the second thing is I didn't really care about the products I was trying to sell. And so I learned that you can't sell something you don't really believe in. That's another thing. That was just so difficult. So anyway, I went to college for one semester and then I dropped out. And I was like, all right, college just didn't work for me. And so I started going down my own path. And at the time I was working in restaurants. And I'd always been somewhat interested in the film world and the visual medium, storytelling, writing. And I'd gotten a call from a university in Florida called Full Sail University out of Orlando.
I'm familiar with it. Yep.
Yeah.
It's in Winter Park.
Winter Park, Florida. Yeah, absolutely. They're a trade school, right? They basically teach you one track. They don't make you do history or languages or science or anything. And so you're still sort of, you know, learning your one track. And that worked for me. So I enrolled in their film program. At the time, it was just an associate's program. Now they've even got masters of film programs.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought into that plan to get into the film world, learn filmmaking, and it was A to Z. It was the best experience. One of the coolest things that I've done is to be in that environment where everybody's pretty much passionate about filmmaking to one degree or another. And you basically make three or four projects from start to finish, basically script to set to actors and everything. And you just basically get to be a part of the whole process. And so when you leave, you have a reel of three films that you are a part of. After that, we were looking for our next step. And one of my friends actually introduced me to the guy I now currently work with, who's my business partner in real estate and also my stepdad. And he had a bunch of real estate properties and had some need for some help. And so we decided to come up to Maryland to help him out after college. And that was in 2006-ish, five-ish, six-ish.
Okay.
That's how I got started with a little bit in the real estate space, was having him as a mentor saying, Sven, you know, you can have your art, but you got to have a path that, you know, provides an income, right? Because most times in that film medium, you're not getting paid a whole lot, or you're, you know, basically working 60 or 80 hours a week and you're, you know, a slave to the system, so to speak. You know, the movie industry is definitely fast moving and it's hard to get into it. And you have to be in L.A. or New York. L.A. or New York is the only real answers for working in the film world.
No kidding.
I think personal growth was still pretty big for me back then. I did the CDs and the tapes, and I've always had an extensive book catalog. My partner now, she still is floored about how many books I have. She's like, why do you need any more books? You don't need any more books.
You always use more books. You always use more knowledge.
Exactly. That's where I'm at too. Film, after film school, I actually jumped on a cruise ship for a year. I got to sail the world working in the TV station of the cruise ship.
Cool.
That was a really cool experience. Yeah. I got to meet a lot of people from around the world. The job itself wasn't all that exciting. I got to put together what they call a cruise and review video. So if you've ever been on a cruise, they have some people doing photos and videography and then putting it together in a little slideshow kind of video with all the different ports that you went to and all the really cool things you might have gotten to be a part of, just as a memory. So so I got to help with that, and that was pretty exciting.
That's awesome. So looking back on the last 16 years of your life, what do you think, like, can you pinpoint exactly what your transformation was? Like, how you got to, like, how you went from, like, film and real estate to being, like the awesome guy that you are, man, like in M1, like, do you, like, can you pinpoint exactly what your transformation was?
Well, so, all right. So that got me to 2007-ish. And then 2007 and 8, that's when the real estate market crashed. And so I moved to Austin, Texas for 2 years. And then in 2011, Chuck calls me up and says, all right, let's get to work. You know, the market's back. You know, let's get to work. I need you as my partner. So he basically opened that door. And I had to – so I was going from – Apple Retail and Maggiano's serving at a restaurant, working probably close to 60 to 70 hours a week doing those two gigs, you know, basically making almost $30,000 a year, you know, 35 probably.
Jeez.
So I was working a lot for not very much. I was spinning my wheels, it felt like. And so working with him was an opportunity to build a solid foundation, which is something I had grown into. I tell myself that I lived a life of experiences, you know, a life of wandering and just getting to try a whole lot of cool things and travel and do some really cool stuff. And then I think, you know, I just really desired more out of life. And that really comes down to how committed you are. And so for me, coming back here in 2011, was to basically show my commitment to having that solid foundation. Because at that point, so Emily and I have been together almost 8 years. And in 2011, we were going on 2. And so at that point, it was time to, she was graduating college, and it was time for us to get serious about our relationship. And in order to do that, I felt like I needed to bring a certain character trait to the relationship. And that was, you know, about showing up for real in life and you know, making sure that she knew I was committed to myself and our future, our, you know, greater future. And so one of the things I did when I moved back here was get involved in a men's group for transformation of masculinity.
Okay.
It's called it's an organization called Mankind Project.
Okay.
It's a really cool international organization for men. And it helps men develop that part of us that is not modeled correctly. And again, quote unquote correctly. And, you know, we don't have male role models to elaborate on pain or sadness or trauma or, you know, any of these sort of mechanisms that we go through in our daily life. And so I joined that organization and I did some good work, inner work with them that really, I think, helped catapult me into the space where I was ready for the bigger life to show up. You know, some healing work with my real dad, and, you know, so the relationship that we had, I thought was pretty healed, pretty decent, but through the work with them in the Mankind Project, I realized there's still some wounds, some pretty deep wounds that
absolutely.
I needed to work on.
Yep, I hear you there.
So for me the Mankind Project was probably one of the bigger catalysts. The second to that was probably when I was driving down the road on my way to a job, whatever that was at the time, I believe I was selling Comcast memberships at Best Buy. So that was in 2008, I believe, something like that. I was driving down the road, and it sort of dawned on me. It hit me. And I believe the thing that came to me was, you know, Sven, Your dad and your mom have great qualities, traits, and they both instilled them into you. So you are who you are today because of your parents' individual traits. Neither good nor bad, they are what they are, and you are who you are, and you get to develop them yourself on your journey. You know, and I just was like, it sort of hit me, and I just was like, overcome with gratitude for the experience that I had had with them up until then, right? I guess what I did is I let go of that part of you that thinks you're still a child. And you know, recognizing that your parents have qualities, have traits, and that it's their job to pass on to you the best of those qualities. And so I was like recognizing for the first time that that's what had happened and that's what they did. And I think that was a number two moment for me. It was definitely recognizing that place that I was in was a good place.
Yeah. So would you say that that would be, the best part of your transformation, or what was the best part about your entire transformation up to this point?
Yeah.
Oh, we asked tough questions here.
You know, that was a really, those were two of the meaningful moments in my transformation.
Perfect.
Work. Was those two probably, yeah.
Fair enough. What was the worst part about your transformation?
Probably doing that deep wound work with the MKP organization.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to say it's worse, but it was definitely the hardest to face. Facing the shadow.
Probably the lowest moments.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think another one is just that daily stepping out of that comfort zone, right? Recognizing that that's going to be a daily grind, is to get out of the comfort zone, find something that you can challenge yourself on each and every day. That's probably the worst part about it, is because sometimes it feels natural to me to be in that place, and other times it's like the worst thing I could do is to keep being
right?
uncomfortable. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We always talk about getting out of our comfort zones, right? Like doing things that are uncomfortable because it helps us grow, because it doesn't feel good and it's like really awkward and like I've never done this before. It stings a little, you know what I mean? But I think self-assessment is probably the worst thing that we can do, but also I think it's the most helpful, because we don't really want to look at ourselves and find fault with ourselves. I mean, we're hard on ourselves. Don't get me wrong. We're tough on us. Like, man, you blew that. Like, what the heck, you know? But like, just to assess like where we are, or how I am, or wow, I really didn't handle that situation, you know, that well. Like, I wonder how that happened, you know? Because we always want to kind of vindicate, like, oh no, I'm good to go. It's everybody else. Like, it's their fault, you know? Because we don't want to kind of like put it on us. But man, when you self-assess, kind of opens you up a little bit to some scarring and some truth, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. So who would you say has been your biggest influencer?
So far, Chuck Bailey, my stepdad and current business partner. He's definitely stuck with me through it all. You know, from living a life of, you know, I would call it a life of being scattered, you know, being very scarcity conscious, and learning how to transition into abundance thinking and really just having a bit more grounded approach and being much more calm and collected, you know. I think that, yeah.
Who's been your biggest supporter?
Probably Emily, my current fiance. She's
awesome.
Definitely supported me through it all as well. Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely have to have those those influences in our life that kind of show us and kind of lead by example of where we want to be,
yeah.
but also have those supporters that are there to elevate us along the way and kind of pick us up when we fail and walk the journey with us, dust us off and be like, dude, it's gonna be fine, man. Just keep going and kind of just keep cheering us on every time we mess up and just kind of cheer us on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. My mom's been a big supporter as well.
Yeah, definitely. I'd say that I think we all have at least maybe three big supporters, you know, in our life that get mad at us when we're working late or when we're doing something that, like, why are you, like, what are you doing? Like, I just have to do it, you know, like they don't understand, you know? But they're there. They're just biting the bullet. Just like everyone, just like, you know, just like we are and just, we're just grinding. They're kind of just grinding with us, you know, but definitely, uh-huh. I think everybody has about three supporters, three influences maybe that are there for us, you know?
Oh, okay.
Definitely.
Nice.
Do you feel like your transformation is complete though?
Oh no, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. Here's an interesting thing. I went to lunch with an 85 year old aunt, and one of the things that I thought she was that was so fascinating. She said, "Son, we don't have one life. We have many chapters of lives."
Uh-huh.
You know, and I'm like, that's a wise statement right there. You know, and it hit me though that we just have different chapters, right? So I think that, you know, transformation that got you here to this chapter, probably not the transformation that's going to get you to your next chapter, you know, whatever
right.
that is. You know, and I think that, you know, our phases are all different, individual, unique as we go through our life and we figure out different things that we're seeking and things that are seeking us and ways in which we can apply ourselves new. And the world itself is just transforming into a interesting world whereby we can basically pick and choose how we want to live and show up in any given way.
Boom.
Many different opportunities.
Mic drops.
Right.
Mic drop.
That's one thing I'm learning. There's never going to be an end to this process.
Yeah, man. I firmly believe that everything that we're going through, even now, like you may not feel like you're going, like you don't have to go through a huge adversity to go to your next level. Like it's just, Like Tim Rohn talks about, you know, like it's all about self-mastery. Even Rock talks about it. Rock Thomas talks about, you know, mastering this moment, like being the master of meaning and what it is right now. And once you can master it, move on to the next thing. And once you master that, move on to the next thing and the next thing. So, yeah, dude, I completely agree with you. Everything that we're going through, even the small little things, you know, different changes like, oh, I'm moving from, I'm moving from, let's say, Pennsylvania to New Jersey, or I'm moving from Detroit to North Carolina, or I'm moving from, you know, even those little things, you know, everything that we're going through is preparing us for where we're going to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So, you know, even small wins or small fails, and, you know, we look at it as, well, that kind of sucked. Next, you know, like it still has an effect and every single thing that we go through is preparing us for where we're going to the next part of our journey. That is so awesome. Like we have chapters of our life. Absolutely, man. I've got 4 years left in the military. Once I'm done, I'm done. That's it. My military career is over and that chapter of my life stops and then a new chapter begins. So,
yep. Yeah,
definitely,
yeah.
Dude.
That's been a very
so speaking of
realization is to think that way.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of, let's hit it, man. Where are you headed now? You know what's on the horizon? Where you got new adventures, businesses, family? You got a fiance.
Yeah.
So there's gonna be a wedding soon, I'm sure. But what's new for you, man? Where are you headed now?
So I think the new adventure that I'm going on is to learn better how to think of myself as the CEO of my life. I know
it's
a silly, silly concept, but
dude, I talk about that all the time. Like, man, that is huge.
Yeah. I tell you what, that if I can learn how to think as the CEO of my life, you know, I think that no matter what career or relationship or whatever, I can apply it to all those different new and exciting adventures. But
yeah.
I think that that's one thing that I'm learning that is not something that will change too much, running your life
absolutely.
As if you're the CEO of it.
So,
but that's not an exciting answer. but
no, that's awesome because it's so relevant to what we're talking about. You know, like so you and I formally met at the Sacramento conference for the One Life Fully Lived conference, right? I mean, we were at the airport together. We rode in to Sacramento together. We formally met in Sacramento, and it was an amazing conference. I mean, totally awesome. So I talked about that conference to everybody for at least like a month and a half. But did you hear I was one of the breakout session speakers. Did you hear my breakout session while you were there?
I didn't get to because I was assigned to – I worked as a volunteer for
the
thing.
That's right, yep.
And I got assigned to the breakout sessions that I had to attend, so I couldn't choose.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you killed it. I'm sure you killed it.
Oh, so the breakout session that I talked about was literally being the CEO of your life. Like I literally talked about this. So the gist of my breakout session was, and it goes so in line with what John Vroman talks about in building your front row. So basically, what I talked about was if every CEO of every major company has board meetings to talk about last month's sales, this month's sales, future sales, last month's growth, future growth, you know, what are we doing this month? Like if every major company has board meetings, why are we not doing the same thing for our life? Why are we not building a board for our life? And so I built this board of directors for my life, and everybody has five major areas of their life. So they have their wealth or their finances, they have their health, and then they have their personal development, professional development, and then they have their goals, dreams, aspirations, spirituality. It kind of all goes in line. So basically what I talked about was putting people inside of those areas of your life and basically building a board of directors to elevate you for your life. That's what I talked about. So you have to figure out who your board of directors is for your life. So who's your wealth coach? Who's your health coach? Who is your personal development coach? Who's your professional development coach? And then, you know, who helps you achieve those dreams that you have? Like everybody either has religion. Like me, I'm like a huge Christian. So like I have like my pastors and everybody like in my, you know, in my board of directors. But I also have on top of that or beside that or whatever is my life coach, you know, who isn't directing my steps, but they are like, hey, man, I really want to be a TED speaker. Like my goal is to be a TED speaker. So how do I do that? Like, what's my steps? You know, like, do you think I'm good enough? You know, because we have these self-limiting beliefs, and Rocco and I were just talking about it today, is we have these self-limiting beliefs like, well, I don't think I'm good enough, or, well, I don't think that I should, you know, be doing this, or I don't know how to do that. Well, that falls in one of those categories of, is that your personal, professional, or is that your, like, spirituality coach, you know what I mean? So basically, your spirituality is basically the way that you strengthen a set of beliefs, principles, and values that you already have. That's basically your spirituality. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with religion. It just has this is how I strengthen a set of beliefs, principles, and values that I already have for my life, whether it be morals and values.
Yeah.
Because values is basically our moral compass. So that's what my talk was at the One Life Fully Lived conference back in Sacramento back in October was, you are the CEO of your life. No one else is going to pay your bills. No one else is going to direct your steps. How are you going to design your best life? And here's how you do it, is have value-based goals and build a board of directors for your life. So build up, so find people to put into those areas of your life. And when you're struggling in that area, go to them and say, dude, I'm sucking up. Like, I'm sucking at life right now. Like, what am I going to do? You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So there you go, man. In 5 minutes or less, I that's how you do it, man. Build a board of directors for your life.
Yeah. No, that's key right there. I believe that's so true. And it's my job now to find those people and stick them in the place.
Yep. There you go, dude. So you can be on somebody's board of directors and not even know it.
Yeah. Another thing I'm doing is I'm learning how to book my trips and play hard. You know, as
there
they say, having a quality life includes booking the play that you're going to involve yourself in instead of just grinding it out.
Sure.
Having some big reasons. So I'm going to Norway this fall in August. We have a Starry family farm that still exists back in Norway in a town called Brambu. And so I'm going to get to meet some of the Skaris from generations ago. I don't know if they're called cousins at this point or what, but like when my grandfather as a kid left Norway, I think it was my grandfather. Yeah. So it was my great grandparents that actually left. They left a couple of kids there, and so we still have Skaris from years ago. And,
that's awesome.
The family farm that I get to visit is the same family farm from generations ago. It's going to be so exciting. It's like one of the things that has been on my to-do list for ages.
That is pretty awesome, dude. That is wow. Yeah, definitely. Dude, let me know how it goes, man. That's pretty awesome. I was in Norway years ago, like 02, 03, when I was stationed in England. Beautiful place. Oh, my gosh. Like, so beautiful.
Yeah, that's what they say. They say it's just an amazing country.
So, quick question for you. Now that we're talking about that, would you go back and change anything about your journey? Would you do anything
different? You know, I honestly think about that from time to time. Like, you know, I think about, you know, one of my big things probably was jumping off the cruise ship. You know, I jumped off the cruise ship after a year, and then our economy crashes, which led me to a myriad of adventures. But you know, getting off the cruise ship, I got to meet Emily. You know, and so. Would I have been better served on the cruise ship or meeting Emily, right? And so I wonder, honestly, I don't think I would change anything. I really don't. I think that every single thing that I've done up until now has sort of led me to, you know, the wonderful place I'm in right now and the great set of circumstances that are around me. You know, and from time to time, I also question being in this real estate game. And then I talk to people, and they're like, man, you love what you do. What is going on with your, you know, stuff? You know, and it's funny how when something comes easy, it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like you know, that there's any – like it feels like there's something missing when it's so right, so easy, so good.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about the resources that you use. So give me a resource that you found that with no one's help, what was the best resource that you found during your journey?
So Bob Proctor has been one of my go-to teachers for
I know who that
a
is.
While. You don't know or do know?
I do, yeah. I'm on his email list.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so he has a program. He calls it the Born Rich Program.
Yep.
And it's a it's a DVD course. I believe he filmed it in the 80s because he has chalkboards He has chalkboards that he's using, and you could just tell based on how people are dressed and everything.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, all right, so Born Rich, it's a workbook DVD sort of course, and it's just all about really, really understanding a deep part of how our emotions and how our psychological and how our physical, how they all blend together to create the experience that we have in life. And I've gone through it probably a dozen times. And, you know, I continue to just hear the gold in some of his trainings.
That's awesome.
Both on you know, our mental state, but on, you know, breaking through those glass ceilings and on, you know, having a more results-centered focus sort of experience, and, you know, all sorts of things and how they come together. But yeah, he's been probably one of the teachers that I look up to.
Okay, so on the other side of the coin, who gave you the best resource you used during your journey, and what was it? Did somebody give you a book? Did somebody say, "Dude, you have to use this," or did somebody introduce you to M1, or who gave you the best resource during your journey, and what was the resource?
I don't know if I have an answer for that specifically. Oh goodness. Yeah, no, I mean, so M1 is from listening to podcasts. I listen to Pat Hyben's real estate podcast about becoming a supercharged real estate agent. And he mentions this tribe of people that go on these crazy adventures and, you know, build epic lives together. And so through that, I learned about GoBundance and M1, and it's just been a joy and a blessing to be a part of the tribe since then. So
yeah,
I have to say that, yeah, you know, being introduced through the Pat Hyben real estate show has been quite the epic experience thus far.
That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
So here's your chance, man. Here's Sven's moment.
Yep.
Give a shameless plug a friend, a quote, websites, Facebook, products, movies. Give a shout out to somebody. Plug whatever you want, man. This is your moment. Go.
Well, for the M1 thing, there's a website called gom1.com. Gives you a brief overview of what it is and how to get involved. If you've got $1 million net worth, GoBundance.com. That'll get you plugged into the GoBundance world. Definitely check out Sean Douglas's book. What's your book? What's the name of your book?
You're going to plug my book?
Yep.
That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah, my book's called Decisions, The Power to Overcome Self-Defeating Behaviors.
Absolutely. For sure, check out Sean Douglas's book. And that's it.
Thanks, man. I'm humbled.
Absolutely. Definitely, bro. This is
definitely check out M1. F1's awesome. So, yep, definitely. So as we wrap up, deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone.
The best thing that you can do in your life is to stop comparing yourself to anyone or anything outside yourself. The best thing you can do is to learn to ask yourself, how did I show up today? Did I play full out? And in comparison to my performance yesterday, did I improve in some small, significant way? That is the only thing that you need to be concerned about. That is the only thing that matters. Did you show up today and play all out, and did you make some small improvement in how you live your life over how you lived yesterday?
Dude, that is so awesome that you say that.
Yep, I think that's the most important facet of, and also perspective to have, is just learning to look within, learning to focus on yourself and your past behavior, and improving your trajectory based on that.
Yep, absolutely. Dude, I talk extensively about that in my book. That is the most, that is the number one most common self-defeating behavior, is that people compare their blessings, or they count other people's blessings as opposed to counting their own, or they compare their life to everybody else. Like, if I was just getting in real estate and I look at, like, you know, Tim and Pat and Rock and everybody else, you know, and I'm like, oh man, these guys are so awesome. Like, how come I'm not awesome? You know, like, you cannot compare your chapter one to someone else's chapter 20. Like, it doesn't work that way.
Exactly.
And a lot of people do it, man. Like if I compared myself to every other speaker out there, I would be in shambles. Like, I would be like,
it's hard to get out of bed every day.
Right? Like, I would never want to speak anywhere, because I would be killing myself. Like, I suck. Oh my gosh. Like, you know, because these guys have been doing it. The guys that I look up to, you know, like Eric Thomas, John Vroman, Les Brown, Greg Reed, Zig Ziglar, you know, all these guys that are amazing speakers, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, these guys, I mean, they've been doing it forever, you know what I mean? And me only doing it for a few years, you know. Lane Etheridge is another guy who is an amazing speaker. You know, I just, like, I can't compare myself to these other guys, you know, even though it's really easy to, you know, like it is so easy to compare yourself to everybody. Yeah, dude, I talk about that in almost every chapter of my book, and how to combat that, you know. So don't count other people's blessings, count your own, and don't compare your chapter one to their chapter 20. Yeah, man, absolutely. That was huge, dude. Awesome.
Absolutely. That's definitely another one that's coming up for me this year. It's just reminding myself of the importance of that self journey. They call it a self journey because it is your journey. It's no one else's. You know, so,
absolutely.
So, oh yeah, my other big one is, goals are living and breathing mechanisms, right? They
yes.
are only, there are guiding principles, but they are living and breathing. For me, I thought that somehow the goal of, let's say, earning $100,000 would have some other tangible benefit other than having a number in the bank account, right?
Sure.
I thought that the goal itself somehow had some other reason for existing other than to help me perform. And so that was another big thing that I learned, is goals are just, they're always going to develop. As you develop your business or yourself, your goals will always grow. So you'll never get to a point where you're always achieving your goals, because your goals are supposed to help you develop a path to get on. And so when you
start, I always tell people
your
that
goals, you start making new goals.
Yeah, dude, I always tell people, I said, goals are just dreams with a deadline. That's all they are. So if your goal doesn't throat punch somebody, if your goal doesn't make someone laugh, it is not high enough. So, I always tell people, have unrealistic goals. Like, think so far out the box, like something that you want so bad that makes other people laugh. Like, dude, you're never going to do that. Be like, you know what? I'm going to do that. And you'll hit success somewhere between your limiting beliefs and somebody else's limiting beliefs. You'll hit the success scale somewhere. You know what I'm saying? So, goals are just dreams with a deadline. And having values attached to those goals, like if you want to make a lot of money, but the money is like, I value family, and so making money is my way of taking care of family. So when you attach a value to that goal, values are where you want to be in life. Goals are just the accomplishment along the way. So remember that. Set those values. You value love. You value family. You value relationship. I mean, you can value money as long as you're not, like, motivated by it. You're not stepping on other people's necks to get it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like those people,
yeah,
I'm just like, dude, I have no respect for. Like, I have, like, some Bush League stuff, like cutting other people's throats just to get your next dollar. Like, dude, I hate people like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So So I always tell people, like value whatever it is, relationships, value, you know, love, family, you know, whatever it is you value, like select a goal that's wrapped around that value and just go freaking crush it. You know what I mean? Crush
right.
that goal
yeah.
because values are where you want to be in life and goals are just the accomplishments along the way. So, boom,
for
another
sure.
mic drop.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely, brother.
So as we close, man, do you have any last words? Do you have any last parting words for our listeners?
I think, if you, the listener, can remember to be self-directed and continue to only measure your life to how you lived yesterday, and, you know, you'll definitely have a more fulfilling experience. That's for sure. Because it comes with gratitude. It's built into how you think about your life when you're appreciating it.
Awesome.
Anyway, yeah.
Dude, awesome, man. Wise words,
thanks,
brother.
John.
Wise words.
Thank you,
so,
sir.
So, man, again, thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for your time. And dude, I look forward to marching to a million with you, man. Definitely.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. It's going to be exciting. This is exciting. We are already on that path.
Yeah, dude. So, Life Transformation Radio listeners, this has been Marching to a Million with my guest, Sven Skari, on Life Transformation Radio. If you want to know more about him, look him up on Facebook. He's everywhere. If you want to know more about M1, March to a Million, you go to www.gom1.com and listen up on Friday, because this coming Friday, because our next guest, Isabel Hunt, author, speaker, transformation coach. It's going to be an amazing episode this Friday. Again, thank you, Sven. And as we say here on Life Transformation Radio, live your brand. Find opportunities to live out your values every day. I call it living your brand. This has been another episode of Life Transformation Radio. Have a good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.